This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is a very special episode of Abject Suffering on your feeds on whatever day we decided.
Yeah. Again, time is a mystery to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is another free sample of something that is available in our fire hose of backlog content. Yep. This is our episode of Exquisite Suffering about the Hugo video game.
Hugo, the beloved goblin of Europe, is what his name is.
Yes. He gets in all kinds of scripts and scrapes.
Yep. And he's got bilberry eyebrows for days and he's often nude, but not always.
Yeah. And he has a penchant for looking over his shoulder in a come hither way.
Yep. He would like you to fing him.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is an example. We're not going to do this all the time,
no,
but we wanted to release a couple of them. So this is, beginning of February now, mm-hmm, the future, assuming we didn't die. And we have released this bonus episode. So, if you're just a regular Abject Suffering listener, what you can get if you pledge at the $5 level, mm-hmm, you can get two of these per month, new ones.
Yep.
If you pledge at the $10 level, you get a huge backlog of them, over 60 of them, as well as a bunch of other bonus shows.
Yes. It is an incredible value. If we do say so ourselves, not all, mm-hmm, of them are going to be as good as this one, but some of them are.
Yeah. Yeah. And we like these episodes. They tend to be really fun. We forgot to mention this last episode, but it's okay. You guys are patient. As patrons, this is what you're voting for.
Yes.
You guys get to vote for which of these we cover too. So you have a say in this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of help steer what are going to make good episodes.
Yes.
So and you guys have not steered us wrong.
No, you generally steer us towards some really horrible crap that's fun to talk about.
Indeed. Yeah. So enjoy Hugo. This will be the last of these little free samples.
Yeah.
But just, and if you're already a subscriber, if you already have the fire hose, if you already subscribe at $5, maybe take this opportunity to revisit.
Yeah.
Hugo, the Europe goblin. I liked your slip
into like a romance language. Hugo.
Hugo, the Europe goblin.
Yeah.
Tufakas es grande. Grande. Yeah. Hugo. All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I've gone around my very stately manner, and I've collected any number of flying, stinging insects, and I've put them into this box.
Ooh, box of hornets.
Yeah, well, who knows? We got some wasps, we got some bees, both bumble and
yellow
honey
jackets.
Yeah, we got some of those flying ants that'll sting, mm-hmm, and bite you. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Moths with spears.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know why we gave them that technology, but it'll bode well.
They developed it. It's a lot like the beginning of 2001. Like I think they just kind of got to it on their own.
They landed on a domino.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun. And just like pulled a toothpick out of my mouth. And the first moth that slayed a butterfly.
Yeah.
With it.
So not quite sure what this is going to do, but I'm going to open this box up. We're going to observe their flight pattern and see. And see what we get out of this. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it seems like we could have used non weaponized insects, but
I mean, tell me, Gary, what's going to have more direction? A bug with weapons or a bug without?
Like you mean like a bug with purpose?
Right, right.
Yeah. So hopefully there are some good bugs with a weapon as well that can prevent them from doing anything. They're just gonna be hanging out, just waiting.
I can't, man.
Because if all the bugs had a weapon,
let's at least wait until 20 fucking minutes in. It's not that I agree with you wholeheartedly. I need a moment.
It's okay, we'll get there.
Okay, well, let me rip the rip it. Okay, so the tape's off. Okay. And they're swarming on me.
They're off to the Reese's.
Yep, they're off to Cole's faces.
In this case, the white dude.
Yeah. Oh. You're kind of avoiding. They've got a real grudge against me.
They can tell if you've eaten a banana. have you eaten a banana?
Does it matter that I have one in a smoothie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also put a bunch of banana runts in your pocket.
Ah, okay.
Because I love my runts.
Are they chewy?
Or? Oh, no. Okay. They're real teeth-breaking motherfuckers. And yeah. I've been picking them out for about a year. And I collected them in a sack, and I put them in your pajama pocket.
Oh, there. Yeah. Yeah. No, were you inspired by that art installation that was just a jar of banana runts next to a jar of toenail clippings?
I wouldn't say I wasn't inspired by it. Okay. They're mostly just like forming patterns and stuff. There's been a couple of like stabbings around your ear and mouth, but like nothing.
Oh wait, there's one that just stung my eye. Okay, wow.
Ooh.
Hey Gary, is that a hornet? Is that a hornet on my eye that just stung my eye?
Let me go. It's something. It's some kind of little
hornet. Here, let me grab it. Yeah, it's a hornet. Wait, I know what it's trying to tell me. Hornet. The mascot for the Charlotte Hornets is called Hugo. It's Hugo. Gary, the bees
it's
are...
It's Buck Bumble, too.
Bump to the boom, to the boom, to the big bang.
God, what a dream.
The fan kickstarted sequel to Buck Bumble.
I'm surprised that would be more successful when, like, that Bubsy or that Cheetah Men thing wasn't. I bet you Buck Bumble would prevail. Instead, it's Hugo, based on the Martin Scorsese film.
Yes. I like the authentic pronunciation you did there.
Scorsese?
Yeah. Scorsese.
Scorsese. Gabagool. It's actually Hugo.
Oh, fuck.
Why is Hugo?
Hey Gary, it's been a while since it's been a while since we revisited this. Can you confirm?
Been some time.
it's been a minute. I just want to make sure because I know how I feel. I want to see if you feel the same as well. Is Europe a mistake?
I think Europe is a mistake.
Okay, Europe is a mistake.
There are some very good Europeans.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm just saying Europe is a mistake. I'm not saying Europeans.
Just as kind of a as just kind of a general steeze.
As an experiment, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a as a you know, perhaps the sun should set on the craters of Hugo. But usually, where our ire is garbage, you know, isometric Z spectrum. Games,
yeah, or specifically Crazy Frog and his racing and whatnot.
Yeah, and his antics. This is different. This is Danish. This is Denmark,
right?
Danland.
So far enough north to know better. Denmark, you got some shit to deal with too.
Yeah, you'd think Denmark, what with its lax laws and red light districts and stuff, would know better than this. But maybe. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Maybe there is a correlation between like mascot goblins and legal prostitution.
Maybe. I have a little bit more affection for Scandinavia than for the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
Until
Hugo came a calling.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, you can't get a Hugo in your country unless you invite him in. Hugo was wide fucking spread. So a lot of people are complicit. Not just in this thing existing, but thriving for quite a while.
Let's list the countries that shouldn't be.
let me take my eraser to this grand map. I want to see clearly from Manhattan Island all the way.
Yeah. It's pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
It's the entirety of countries, except for the United States and Japan, as you go.
Romania is pretty cool.
Romania survived. Well, no, they have a Hugo. I'm just saying they've been Hugo free.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. So we're in the Hugo containment zone.
Yeah. Oh, in Puerto Rico, there's Hugo. So
yeah.
So we're kind of fucked because this is the week where we understand that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. I'm not trying to bring that up. I'm just saying.
No, Gary, I just need a minute. Like, just wait till 20 minutes in, okay?
I'm just looking at a Wikipedia for Hugo. You can't hold that against me.
I can't control your eyes.
I don't control your bedtime reading.
It was very strange to recognize how much of a thing Hugo is, because this just crossed our transom. It was put into our kind of suggestion thing. I need to pull up the list to see who actually suggested this. This is a premium episode, so the content that people are getting doesn't just contain some our takes on this bad PS1 game, but like this is our first reaction to what, why is Hugo?
Yeah. To the Denmark's answer to Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
Which is like an unpleasant little like pantsless goblin.
Hey, Gary, what's your name?
Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
The pantsless goblin. I'm Cole Ross, the panty goblin.
The panted goblin.
Oh, no, panty goblin?
No.
Did I just refer to you as the panty goblin?
No. I think you said the panted goblin.
I'm pretty sure I just called you the panty goblin.
Okay. Fine. I'm not heteronormative. I'm sure they're comfortable. It's fine.
In like a Revenge of the Nerd sense, that would be like you knew how to steal panties.
Yep.
Like he's a real panty goblin.
Why is he called that? He takes the panties and then he lives under the stairs for 3 weeks until the heat dies down.
he goes down to Tijuana just to wait for the panty statute of limitations.
Hey Gary, you know what I'm sick of right now? The word panty.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, like the concept and the word is fine. In this, like we've just repeated it until it rubbed raw.
Because it sounds like an adjective. It sounds like your panty.
It sounds like a goblin who contains who contains multitudes of just the quality of pantedness of pantness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like as opposed to, Hugo, who was I called him pantsless. He actually does wear pants.
He just looks like he would be pantsless. His design de-emphasizes his lower quarters to the point where you would totally believe he was straight Porky Pig in it.
Yeah. He is grotesque.
Yes.
I hate him.
There is no sane world in which somebody would draw this, be it on a napkin or, on a whiteboard or as part of a proposal for what their main character of their thing should look like. And it would get anywhere past just the sketch phase. It is grotesque.
Like if you asked me to draw like a cute little goblin thing, like it'd probably be something like this. If you said like, make it cute.
Okay.
But I wouldn't like be like ship it. And I definitely wouldn't be like export it to 40 countries, Let's draw all of his friends and let's figure out his adventures. And like, let's create a sexy witch antagonist for him. And I definitely wouldn't give him that fuck me stare that he's got during this entire game of him looking over his shoulder, like directly into your eyes. That's like, prepare to fucking dock. Like I've never in all of my romantic adventures, I have never been given a look that is like stick the landing, like the look that Hugo gives you for 90% of this fucking video game.
Yeah. I have not.
Hugo makes Miss Pac-Man look like a fucking prude.
Yeah.
Like Miss Pac-Man is a nun.
Hugo is beckoning me to pull up to the bumper.
Yeah. Yeah, it is essentially like Hugo is looking over his shoulder and being like, your girlfriend ain't here.
He's calling your girlfriend.
It's the Robin song, but in like cartoon form.
Hugo is looking at me and saying, I'm ready if you are.
Yeah, just like, add a little texture to your sexual history.
Uh-huh.
By fucking this goblin. that's me. I am the goblin.
Yeah.
Please do it. Like he's extremely open and up for anything, I think.
Yeah. And you're hitting on something that is, I think, key to the Hugo experience, which is Hugo is very much aware of you as an entity, you as a player.
He's constantly staring at you.
Yes. After you die, he is constantly tapping on the glass and saying things to you, saying little one-liners.
Yeah. Which neither of us got to play this in English. We had to watch English dubs or watch English videos of it.
Right.
Because for some of the ISO doesn't exist in English, but I was way into it when I didn't know.
Oh, for sure.
And it was just him saying like weird German things to me.
It's remarkable how much surreality is added when you have a tiny little sex goblin say, der Spiel ist laden.
It's just like, it just makes it seem so much dirtier, you know?
Yeah. Like, I feel very at sea when that is happening. So I think that I might've had the canonical experience, not just playing this on something closer to its mother tongue, but not knowing what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hugo's appearance, he's like a tiny little goblin kind of thing. Who's wearing, what I would have to say is
half
like
a lederhosen.
Yeah, it's like a lederhosen. It's almost like overalls, but with one strap. Unlike what you would imagine a goblin or a troll being, he doesn't have like green or blue skin. He's got straight up flesh tone skin, which I think adds
flesh tone is a real problem.
It's a real problem. As is his just kind of like curly hair that sticks out. Like
it's really realistic and stuff. Like it looks like you're following like. The genre of this game is something I like to call effectively endless runner. And the it's more or less like you're following Paul Reiser to like an audition or something. Like the hair looks realistic in that like in a way that I'm really uncomfortable. And from behind it is just like you're following, you know, the bad guy from Alien.
Right.
Aliens, you know.
Who was Paul Reiser? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just
Hugo Hood.
Yeah, no, this might as well be mixed media is the thing. They might as well have like digitized an actor's photograph and just took the hair and put it on there.
Yeah,
a la Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, the hair is very realistic and just kind of suggests like a hairiness quotient.
Yes,
you know, like
a hirsutitude.
Like yes, hirsutitude, like a thick like Brillo pad, you know, blacker than wet black velvet, you know, like, and just like thick hair. And like, you don't get to see Hugo's like ridiculous pube mound.
Right.
There is literally no way that he does not have like more pubes than 10,000 effective teens, right. You know, like super teens, like
as opposed to ineffective teens, which yeah, I think you and I were.
Yeah, who didn't quite get on the trolley, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know,
the trolley.
Yeah, the pubic hair trolley.
So, turning our attention elsewhere, he's got one big old tooth that sticks out from the bottom jaw. Got a big round nose. What's that?
I just kind of like it's like part of the look I hate. Like he signals as like a real like dipshit hillbilly.
Yes, you know, also kinda. like the lederhosen with no shirt. Implies that as well. Like you would expect him to be carrying around a jug with three X's on it.
Yeah.
He's got big old elf ears, along with in some renderings, like these just big earrings that are kind of strange, and two little demon horns. He's a little piece of shit and I wish he would die and also have never been born.
Childbearing hips.
Yes.
Like there's something about how bottom heavy Hugo is that contributes to his like, you know, come experiment with me, like his Morrissey, like, you know, ask me.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not love, then it's the bum that brings us together. Like,
yeah,
thing that he has going on. Like he's very, you know, wobble weeble.
Yeah, he's definitely got a certain Calipigian aspect to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And generally, like, I'm down for a pair of childbearing hips. It's just like weird when it's on this like terrible sex goblin.
Yeah. And also weird when most of this game features him wiggling it at me.
Yeah, and looking over his shoulder, like something about like the gesture of looking over your shoulder back at me has been ruined for me. Like I can't not look at that as like a, you know, I'm following someone to a bedroom, because that's like exactly what it looks like, and it happens every time you're not moving forward in this game, like or ducking, like looks over at you, like the platforming section of this game. I just kept looking at me, like right in my eyes. It's fucking weird, man. Like. Just like, are you coming?
You know, again, pretty soon.
Your girlfriend's not here. Call your girlfriend. Like, tell her you met someone else. Like, it is. Yeah,
it's a little bit much. So, Hugo, it's very rare that the main character is the dad, and I think that this is also maybe something of a different ilk. Right, has to do with, you know, that's from somewhere else, because like the main character of the Berenstain Bears isn't the dad. It's, you know, it's Brother Bear, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So, but he's got a family and his family has been stolen by Scylla, this witch. Now in the original seasons, she was kind of a crone figure who used magic to make herself look sexy and young, especially when she was around Hugo's wife, Hugina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. who also, is like portrayed in the cutscenes and stuff as like mildly coquettish.
Yeah.
In this way that I'm uncomfortable with. Scylla, the sexy witch, who's like pretty much the same thing as the Battletoads nemesis.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Is if you look up Rule 34 Hugo stuff, like only the witch shows up.
Absolutely.
I'm really surprised. I'm actually very surprised. Like, I really expected like Hugo like be laying pipe, and instead it's just the sexy witch. Well, you know,
what if what we're seeing isn't those childbearing hips, like all of his pelvicular roundness?
You think it's happens?
Just, oh yeah, it's just coiled around him. Yeah,
like he's sneaking his dick into a movie.
Oh, like an inner tube. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like a little camelback.
Yeah, like you must have a normal size ding dong to enter, and he's just like, "What? Gott zum Leben!" Just, you know, wraps it around his waist and then sneaks on in. You know,
yeah, he's like Milton Berle, just takes out enough to beat you.
Yeah, and then you know, the movie shows up and it shows whatever freaky weird shit that gets Hugo off, and then it just like slowly like rips through his monostrap lederhosen and just like, you know.
Flings his popcorn across the movie theater. Oh wait, it's Europe. Flings his apple segment across the movie theater.
You think that somebody's tapping on your shoulder and you look over and it's just like the mast. It's just Hugo's lead time, you know.
His lead time.
Like, it's just like, and it's probably too. He's probably one of those guys where like, you get to my age, our age, and you've seen a lot of porn, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not like super into it, you've seen a lot of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Once in a while, you get these guys that like the hair kind of like crawls up their dick.
Yeah, it's especially when it's all the way up to the tip and it forms like a big curl that extends upward, and then it blows out like a party favor when he.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It explodes like it looks like Superman's little colic thing.
Yeah.
First, and then you know that Hugo is just like. That he doesn't have hairy armpits. I wonder if he shaves.
I think he does.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
like
I think he waxes is the thing.
Oh yeah,
but he waxes himself. He doesn't, you know, doesn't want to burden anybody else with that.
No, he's here's the thing is we have had a lot of fun, but he's a good husband and father. You know, it's okay for us to make our jest, but yeah. You know, really, he is a American hero. And to be treated as such.
He specifically was never an American hero.
It's
yeah, so he is a good father and husband because he goes to rescue his family from his from Scylla, this witch who just seems to, you know, hector them or hecate them.
Cool. I hate to, you know, every once in a while, like, you know, we'll do some Googling in the middle of the show. And something will come up that I have to like interrupt you, and I apologize.
Are we about to take a left turn?
We're about to take a left turn. There's a lot to talk about Hugo, but this is a premium episode. I feel like we can also. I just looked up Hugo toy because I was looking for action figures.
Okay,
dude, do you know about Hugo Man of a Thousand Faces?
No.
Oh, buddy, throw that in that phrase into your Google image search, and look at the like one of the creepiest toys I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is for people who don't know, this is like a 1975 like puppet that like I don't even know how to describe him, but he comes with all these disguise things. The idea is he can disguise as different people,
but in his base form that is the face of a man who's telling me that the bridge is out and I'm not going back home.
Yeah. it is a really astounding model. These like big like semi, you know, like almost kind eyes, but in a kind way, like not someone who'd actually be kind, but like all the people around the asylum call him the kindly man. In that kind of way, like, oh, the kindly man's coming around. Yeah. You know,
he looks very quiet to me.
Oh, yeah, the quiet man would also work for this guy.
Yeah, he's bald. But it's not quite like a Mr. Clean kind of bald, you know, like he's got a little bit of a like cheek paunch to him. He's got like a moon face to him a little bit.
Yeah, but very, very sharp cheekbones.
Yes.
And then kind of a slight kind of Mona Lisa smile.
Yeah. Like he definitely knows something that you're never going to know.
Yeah. I can get this guy for $15 on eBay.
Whew.
Do I want, oh man. And it has him without. Jesus Christ, Cole.
Gary, you don't want that in your house.
No, I know, but look at this. I sent you a picture in Slack. And I'm sorry to people who are listening to this who can't go on this journey exactly with us, but yeah, let me show you this eBay auction so you can see him without his shirt on.
Okay. I mean, we're painting word pictures here, so that's
yeah,
fine.
I don't feel that bad about it.
Did you send this in Slack?
I just sent it.
Okay.
So he's really special without his shirt on, though.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
turns out he lost both of his arms in some kind of poisoning. And instead of getting prosthetics, the tube of his torso just has affixed to it these cloth tubes with rubber hands at the end.
Have been like buttoned back on.
Right.
God, why, it's so weird that this is the most popular like kid show in wherever, and I didn't get find a Hugo toy. I found this American monstrosity. Maybe America is the place that needs to go.
I mean,
this is a distinctly American toy.
We're making a pretty compelling case. Oh man, and like all these accessories that come with Hugo, the Man of a Thousand Faces, just serve to make him scarier. Like,
he's disguised. He does not look like anymore like a human.
No. Here's the thing, like this is the secret of any unsettling portrayal of the human form, especially the face. Always look at the eyebrows. Gary, look at the eyebrows, and what do you see?
Well, so the real version doesn't have eyebrows.
No, and that's why he's upsetting.
Yeah. That's such a bad look. Every once in a while, somebody in high school would do that, and I'm just like, you look like a monster. Like, nobody looks okay without eyebrows.
Hey, Whoopi, how's it going?
Ah! Like, put that away.
Yeah, okay, so I'm very happy that you brought this to my attention.
I'm amazed that I didn't know this was a thing, and it's like, it's got, you know, there's media about it and stuff. It's shown up on stuff. I just missed him.
It seems like, so it was definitely part of 70s culture. It looks like, so Kenner toys is what this is. So definitely real 70s. Yeah. A lot of the actual pictures of this thing look like curse pictures to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very much so. I will keep an eye out for this bad boy in my travels.
Okay. Gary, I have to insist you do not invite Hugo into your house.
Either of the Hugos. Any of the Hugos.
Especially if they come together.
Yeah, no Hugos.
Move.
You can have one.
Gary, burn down the house and salt the ashes.
Yeah, that's this guy's intense. And Hugo the Goblin, Hugo the sex freak. Yeah, because Hugo the Master of a Thousand Faces or whatever, there's no way that this guy fucks. Hugo the Goblin definitely does. I think Hugo the Man of a Thousand Faces, though, I can't.
Yeah, I think that the Man of a Thousand Faces, Hugo, has burned his functioning privates off with acid.
Oh yeah, just to better fit in, you know, to get past that dick detector that was keeping Hugo out of the movie, you know.
Hugo out. Yeah. One feature. God. Oh Jesus, Gary, the back of the box.
Yeah. There's a couple of these that are really racist too.
Oh, of course.
Put that together, but there's a couple of Chinamen he can turn into in kind of a pretty gross racist sense.
That's not the preferred nomenclature.
I mean, that would be what he would.
Oh yeah, I was also quoting the Big Lebowski. Oh, yeah. One feature of Hugo that we're going so slow, but just like there's so much here. One feature of Hugo we haven't talked about is his horse's tail.
Oh yeah.
It's not a horse's tail. Like a horse's tail is just long flowing hairs that extend out from nothing. This, it's almost like a lion's tail, but if the tail part was rat tail.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely flesh involved. And it is prehensile in a way that like I don't care for.
Yeah. So in the game that we played for this, Hugo is off to rescue his family. Something I didn't realize. Here's what we should do. We should describe this game that we're playing and then give the kicker about the way this was deployed.
Yeah, then the origins of this whole thing, which is like legit interesting.
Yeah.
If not good.
Right.
You know. So the game is a collection of mini games that you have to complete to rescue your wife and child. All of which Hugo is looking over his shoulder at you or looking to the right of you. It's very gross. Most of them are essentially the same mechanics as an Endless Runner, where there are like three tracks and, you know, you move between them.
Right.
So you're either like skateboarding or running or on logs or doing something, you know, doing something like that. And you have very limited input to avoid obstacles on your way. And when you get hit, you get to see a little animated cutscene of Hugo like tapping on the, like you're dying in some way and then tapping on the glass to get your attention.
Yeah.
And that's Hugo.
The deaths come across like low stakes, no mortality, Dragon's Lair. Like the way that you die indicates which little cutscene you get. And I was, yeah. I was amused a little bit by just kind of seeing the different ways it would go. And again, amused is predicated entirely on a loose definition of that word and also playing this in a language you don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while, somebody would shout something in another language and it ended up being kind of funny. not just because like, haha, different language than me, but it would just be, you know, had some classics of game appeal.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like Hugo would keep doing the same thing and keep shouting the same, you know, phrase over and over until it became like a Tim and Eric, like umama kind of thing. You know? Yeah. It has some umama appeal.
Especially the ending where you get to Scylla. And in this version, you have to like just basically guess between three options. If you select the right rope, it ties up Scylla in this kind of super kinky way. And I don't think I'm reading a lot into that. And then she is put onto a plank, and that plank is launched out of a window on some kind of spring contraption. Mm-hmm. So basically, she is given an open casket sky burial.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So go seduce the moon, sex witch. And then you get to, you know, you reunite with your wife and kids, and then proceed to make more terrible little goblins.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a property, like this is a very wide ranging thing. It ran for quite a while, mostly in Denmark, and they turned it into a whole kind of universe, right? There are lots of different Hugos, lots of different enemies and things like that, with appeal that I do not understand one whit.
Can I just like tell you an interesting factoid too that I got just from wiki surfing here?
Yes, you can.
Is the voice actor of it starred in did you know there was a 1988 version of The Bourne Identity that's 3 hours long?
What?
Yep.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the It movie. Yeah, like, right. was syndicated on TV in huge section with commercials, was well over 4 hours.
Huh.
But the voice of Hugo was in that. That's in his selected filmography.
The original Danish VO?
Michael Habeck, the German actor.
Oh, the German actor, okay.
Yeah. Huh. The one that we heard.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, 3 hour Bourne Identity from 1988. Oodalali. But yeah, there's something about this, like, does it reminds me of like any kind of European cartoon that I don't like. I, you know, this is not nationalism on my side, because like I'm most like kids cartoons in America I don't like very much,
right?
You know, and I'm the guy who is not gaga for animation in the group. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm saying like, oh, Mickey Mouse is so much better than like asterisk the racist Viking or whatever, you know, like, or Tintin, the racist kid. Right. Or
that is pretty much Tintin's whole thing, right?
Yeah. Hugo, the racist goblin. Like, I'm not saying like Mickey Mouse is inherently better than that, because Mickey Mouse was also incredibly racist.
Right.
Back in the day, you know, and Disney things, but, it's all just kind of that weird offness of just not having grown up with it.
Right.
So like, is this inherently weirder and more off-putting than like Mickey Mouse? I can't actually say.
Yeah. It's tough, right? So, yeah, I know this is not a good way to have a discussion about this. Mickey Mouse seems to be the, like, a difficult one to make that comparison to, strictly because it has been so, like, commodified and shipped everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, is there some other, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, that, well, that is also, all these American examples have just been, like, sent out to the rest of the world. But I know what you're talking about.
Cultural imperialism is a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the word that I was looking for. But I know what you're talking about. Like, it seems stranger to us because there are an awful lot of assumptions that we make about our own shit that just we just never question. Right.
Yeah. Like, but like Mickey Mouse, we're American. We say things like Mickey Mouse is normal because he has a normal mouse sized dick. And Hugo is weird because it's gigantic thundercock.
Right.
And like, maybe that's just weird because we grew up with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like we all grew up knowing about Mickey Mouse's normal, like average mouse penis.
Right.
You know, so we think it's weird to have Thundercock McTroll person over here, the Swedish, you know, troll god thing that this thing is, right. You know?
Yeah. And I was about to go off half cocked about this whole thing about like, I know Hugo that, Is it Scandinavia and Iceland? I know that there are some countries up there that are real into the idea that there are still elves.
Yeah.
And like they're just kind of like invisible, almost pixie figures that do exist. Like, yeah, elves exist. Cool. Thumbs up. I might be thinking of Iceland, which I know is a different thing. So I should.
Yeah.
I should stop.
I mean, who knows? But there are countries that still, like, theoretically there could be. And this cartoon probably aired in a country.
Yes.
That still thought trolls or elves were like a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was playing off of a completely different, a completely different milieu. You know what? Yeah. So it's not an American thing, but
like, we believe in mice.
Right. So, and trolls are as common as mice over there.
Yeah.
This isn't an American thing originally, but I think that it might be similarly baffling. This must be what the troll or what the trolls, the Smurfs look like. To other people outside of us.
That's more or less what the Smurfs look like to me.
Yeah.
Too. Like, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, sound cool by not being into the Smurfs, but like they do seem like just like unpleasant little goblins to me. Like there's a rainbow of unpleasant little goblins that we're expected to appreciate and enjoy as kids.
A whole smorgasbord.
Yeah. It's pretty strange.
Yeah.
You know, well, there's a little monster, but like you like him. You know, then you get like Gooby and you get all those cartoons, Mac and Me and stuff. Like these things are just based on like, what if there was a little goblin?
Gooby is a whole different thing. God,
I know. Gooby. But like he is a repulsive little goblin.
Well, he's a repulsive bear man. Gooby is like, what if that crazy guy in a bear costume who was sucking that guy's cock in The Shining got his own children's movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not Gooby so much Mac and Me.
Yeah,
Gooby is also, he's more than a bear, man. Like Gooby's got a lot going on. Like the Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah.
You were expected just to accept the Garbage Pail Kids, like these walking, talking little, like, God, I would love to find a way to cover that for the network somehow. Just because like I've like a deep dive on that movie is out of this world.
Yeah.
Bonkers. But like, just like as kids, you know, just like, here's an unpleasant little monster that like, you know, farts and fucks and like, you're just supposed to dig it. You know, I just don't really get it.
Yeah. Oh man, you know? I remember what a big hit Bad Santa was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah.
You go Bad Santa. Same thing.
Yeah. Here's this movie about like how much Santa loves anal sex, and if you can read between the lines even a little bit, you can play this video game about how about Hugo enjoys being pegged thoroughly and consistently. So, to completion.
Thoroughly is my favorite adjective to describe sex. Yeah,
We did it thoroughly.
That's a good man. So we've been burying the lead, and like that, like this was news to me, but literally anybody else in the entire world would say, oh yeah, Hugo, they did this. This really was news. This is a game that was done on interactive television.
Yeah, this is like Satellaview. Like Nick Arcade, you can play from home.
Even different than that. This was one kid would call in and then play it and everybody else would see them do it.
Yeah. Like the television or like Nick Arcade, you could play from home.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I for some reason I thought
you blanked
I said
out the second half of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, it's pretty. And that's why the games are such like simple. They're so simple. Like it's just, you just move in three different directions from three different tracks because they had to be games you could play on your touchtone phone.
Right. And so when you watch YouTube videos of this, of like it was airings of this show, it's the same stuff. Like what we are seeing on PlayStation is just these Amiga graphics that are being represented here. They would have like little cues, like to move left, hit 4, to move right, hit
6.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's real strange. And then they just like, here's the home version of these things. And like, there was never a home version of the Nick Arcade games.
No.
You know, because they're really terrible, but Hugo was a bigger hit. They would get them. And they never... And there are a couple of them that are a little bit different than that I think are unique to the home version. Like, the flying one has a granularity of control that would be hard for me to imagine being done on a telephone.
Yeah, it wasn't just the lanes, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not as, like, digital. You know, so maybe there were some games that were added, but for the most part, these are just like the home version of a game show.
Right.
You would watch. Pretty crazy. And I could see that contributing and papering over a lot of Hugo's flaws. Right.
Right.
Like if I was a kid, this design was never going to be appealing to me, no matter how young or stupid I was.
Right.
But it would, you know, the idea of playing a video game on TV, like that would have done it for me.
Well, I mean, I would have partaken by for two reasons. One, the vain hope that I would ever be the person who was selected to play during the call-in time. Like that would never happen. And the odds against that are so just they're so stacked against you. And the second one would be watching other kids fuck up and thinking about how I would do it better,
like, which is what I always did at Nick Arcade too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this would have like somehow got its hooks into me. I don't think I would have gotten into like the extended Hugoverse and like gotten to side characters and stuff, but I would have definitely like watched the show and enjoyed it. And Europe, as much as it is a mistake, had a bunch of little like things like that. Like what there's one of them that's like a dungeon kind of game. Like British listeners are going crazy.
Yeah.
Right now because I can't remember the name of it.
I have no idea. I can't help you.
There's another like there were more of these kind of kid game based shows.
Mm-hmm.
Overseas, and some of them are very cool. Like I've watched like footage of them.
Yeah, it's
cooler somehow than Hugo.
It's a good cool idea, and I wonder if we just couldn't do that because of how like geographically spread out we are.
Yeah, you
know, versus a smaller country, which might have been a little bit easier from like an infrastructure or like homogeneity of broadcast kind of view, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and there were like. Not exactly this, but there were some things that were kind of similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Captain Skyhawk or Captain, not Captain Sky, Captain something like that, where it was like a game, a TV show that would show on you could buy a toy and you had like a gun.
Hmm.
There was like a jet on a gun handle.
Oh.
And you would like pretend to shoot and it would actually like register in some kind of way when you shot. I can't remember exactly how it worked, but there was something like that where you could like, play along with that. I mean, I know about 30% about a lot of things today, but not enough to make it actually useful. Like I don't remember its name or exactly how it worked. I just know it was a thing.
It sounds like it would have been something in the late 80s for people who could afford cable in the late 80s.
Yeah. I think it was like an early 90s thing, but like America didn't have exactly that, but it had like that, whatever that Captain Skyhawk thing was. We had like Sega Channel. We had a couple things that tried to go along with it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm kind of surprised this probably had to have been like pitched to the United States because if it was such a big hit elsewhere, someone pitched something like this.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the fact that it's like, it was a shitty game, like, you know, or by the time it actually made its way over here, it was too primitive.
Yeah. It was way, way too outdated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, like, it's neat. Like it just, there was something about it. Just, it didn't fit into my world view. The way in which this was a game show. So like, you know, we got it suggested. I'm like, okay, Hugo, this cutscene is really weird. This looks like, okay, we'll put it on there. It won kind of handily out of its weirdness. And I did the initial research. I'm like, okay, this is like a thing elsewhere. And there was a show based off of it. Weird. Like it didn't, in my head, I didn't think it was possible for them to do what they did by controlling this via phone and broadcasting one person's play to everybody else. Like it took people in the Slack saying, oh yeah, I remember that. Like you could call it and play. I'm like, surely not.
Yeah. Well, fuck man. Yeah. Cause I would think like there'd just be like the lag would make it impossible to play.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what it seems like is it would be impossible to actually.
But there's weird stuff like old style broadcast didn't really have lag. Not appreciably. Like there were stories about just like with baseball games, there were certain like radio commentators who didn't show up on TV where you would watch the picture of the game on TV, but then listen to the radio. And then in the switch to digital, the lag made it so that wasn't possible because the audio would come out way before you actually saw what happened on there. I think that like it literally just is like a technological moment. Where telephones were good enough and TV was bad enough, but instant enough that they could make this happen.
They just overlapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Cole, do you want to give me a quick guess on when the most recent Hugo video game was released?
Oh, Jesus. It would have to be like an iOS thing. Let's say 2015.
It's older than that, but you're right. Like it is an iOS thing. It's Hugo Troll Race on 2012.
Okay. Yeah. Still too late. Still too recent.
If you put Hugo into your iPhone, you get like half dozen Hugo games, including some match threes and a free with an app purchase like City Builder. So you can just do the lore and none of the, the mechanics.
None of the breakneck action play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. Fucking weird, man.
It doesn't, I mean, it goes without saying, this is a terrible game to play. Like, it feels,
yeah.
It feels awful. It's incredibly slow.
The hit detection is extremely bad.
Yeah.
It also feels unfair at points.
Yeah.
In a way that like seemed designed to like screw kids who called in.
Yeah.
You know, like the side scrolling one where you, Hugo just kind of walks forward and you have to jump or duck are your two modes. Like there are sections, the thing you duck is this tree branch that's being bent away from you and then rubber bands into your face. The timing on that and the point in which it is a hurt box is like impossible to determine. Like it is extremely bad in a way that reminds me of like Dragon's Lair or something like that, like kind of floaty and just weird, you know, without it being it doesn't feel like a game.
It feels like what you are doing and what is happening on the screen is separated by a zip code.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, there like in the side scrolling section, there was a time where there were two little spring traps that were like right in a row, and for the life of me, I couldn't actually jump over it because Hugo's jump width is just one.
You can't jump over it. You have to jump between them, and the reason you have to do that is because the hit detection on those is so bad. So their hurt box is like if you imagine those traps separated into quarters. Mm-hmm. Her box is the second quarter only.
Oh, geez.
So it's like I got through that one. There are a few of these I beat. I beat that one. I beat the skateboarding one.
Skateboarding one is just Sonic 2 bonus game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like doesn't feel digital.
Right.
You know, it feels analog in a way that like the other ones don't. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones I think I beat.
Yeah.
Only the mountain one is very frustrating because sometimes there's branching paths.
Uh-huh.
But if you miss them, they just don't show up again.
Yeah.
Like the mountain just kind of became a thing where like I missed the path to move forward. So I just kind of went around in circles until it gave me too many barrels to jump or boulders to jump over. Like, well, fuck me, I guess.
That's a weird thing that's popped up kind of recently in interactive movie design stuff, because that happens both in the Lawnmower Man game for the Sega CD, where just like, hey, you're in tunnels. If you miss one, you're fucked. And also in Sewer Shark as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, this is what a strange beast this is.
Extremely strange beast.
Yeah.
I'm glad I know about it. I think it's bad. I'm not trying to shit anyone's childhood if someone's like way into Hugo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess, but as like, just imagine, I would like to think somebody could have some empathy for where we're coming, like the way I can empathize with someone being a kid and getting into this, you know, and it's like, I don't think it's that much more different than like our Mickey Mouses or what have you.
Yeah.
But like have some empathy for somebody coming across this as an adult too.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, here's this like horny little hairy guy. Who is just like, you know, we're expecting just to, just take seriously.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be on his side.
Yeah. Like there's not tons of information online other than just like really bland synopsis of what the show was and incomprehensible YouTubes of the show.
Right.
My favorite review thing or thing I found on GameFAQs as related is for Hugo 2 by DarkDude98, whose review Hugo down the toilet now. That's a sentence I just think is very funny. Like Hugo down the toilet now.
This is where you belong.
You go down the toilet now. I just think that is very funny.
The message board for the Hugo game for PlayStation, not a lot going on there. There's one topic that is just need help, and then it's an ASCII pedo bear. Great.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, man. You're doing awesome. Zero Fury Bahamut. Your account is canceled. Literally, there's no information on him. The real action, Gary. I just dropped
Hugo the Evil Mirror.
Yeah.
I found that. I played that game a little bit. You walk around. It's a terrible 3D platformer where you walk around like using a bazooka as a melee weapon.
Uh huh.
Why? The bazooka.
That
game... I get that it functions as a tube, but why would you just use it as a tube?
Uh huh. Yeah. No. The Evil Mirror for PlayStation is one of the most zoomed out 3D platformers I've ever played.
Mm.
Weirdly enough. It feels like I'm playing one of those like Micro Machines RC car games, as what it feels like. It's not a good game, and nobody expected it to be. What I didn't expect was what is going on the Hugo with Evil Logan Mirror. Hunter? What's that?
With Logan Hunter?
Yep.
Or our boy, Logan Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, with Logan Hunter and this entire kind of cohort that has taken up residence on the Hugo board. The last post is as recent as like earlier this September.
Yeah, September 6th. Yeah, you know, at 4:30 a.m. in the general chat 2.5 thing, which has been locked somehow. And it is just, you know, general chat.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, we talk about a lot of people who, you know, use GameFAQs message boards for nefarious purposes.
Right.
This is just them using it for, like, they need a home.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is just a cheap message board.
Right. And, like, this, when we say, oh, they're doing this, it's not an invasion. It's not like that weird Mortal Kombat board that moved from somewhere else. And they made it their general chat. These are the same people who have been posting here for 9 years.
Yeah.
Since
this is a community.
Since the very beginning of 2008 is when they were doing this. And I was looking into this and I felt a little bit like a voyeur. I felt kind of bad, you know, notwithstanding the fact that they put it out there in public, but like talking about how they're having kids and just like, oh, we moved or I got into a car accident.
It's CJC's boyhood.
Fuck you.
That's what it is, though, right? Like, it is. Like you get to see these people's lives unfold in real time through this thing. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because like, and I did a lot of flipping around here. Not one mention of Hugo.
No, absolutely not. There's no like any justification as to why Hugo or why they are here has long ago fallen off the back. So we can only assume. We can only assume that this is the like the this what we are seeing is just kind of a weird little cross section of it.
Here's the lone thief from 5 years ago.
Okay,
with a post called "Still Alive but Barely." Lone thief popping in. I check in back from time to time, but never really post anything. Me and the fiance broke apart. Been just focusing on work and playing the hell out of video games to keep me occupied. Still living at home with a pet hamster named Wembley. Got an Ocarina of Time ocarina that I enjoy playing. Wish people would come back here. I miss all of you.
So this looks and feels exactly like the times about 5 years after I stopped playing EverQuest when I would go back to my guild's message board to see how everybody was doing.
Here's a Canadian dude.
Oh geez, don't take Canadian dude for me, please.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I didn't know whether you had it on deck, so please, yeah, Canadian dude yourself.
Canadian dude 10 years ago saying, I saw Borat. I'm sorry to say I found it rather offensive and unintelligent. Now take something like Frasier. There's good humor, but I'm afraid Borat just doesn't do it for me. Emoticon.
What the hell? Like, what an amazing specimen this is.
So,
like, do you ever think about just like and just really have your mind blown by how much hidden information there is? Like, and it's not just doing this show, right? Like, I could a predictable place to take this would be like, it's crazy that we do the show and we find out all this stuff. But this stuff has always been here. Like, even just like Hugo, the Man of a Thousand Faces. There is just such a preponderance of things that we don't know about and would never know about, of just secrets in the world of things like this. And like, maybe they're bland secrets.
I mean, you know, just like this is like somebody's take on Borat from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Pretty like bland.
Secret, but like, there's just no way that someone should find that.
No,
you know, it is just a secret thing. Like it is explicitly like, here's a thing for a dozen people in this world of 7 billion or whatever. Right. You know, it is just amazing. And you could just, you know, spend time and find a new thing like that only a dozen people know about, you know, every day.
Yeah.
If you put a little work into it, it's bonkers.
So
I mean, this every day, if you never left GameFAQs, like you could find a new GameFAQs thing, like of similar rarity and weirdness to this every day until you die.
Yeah. Just hit random game. Like you're like outside of all of the usual stuff that we see, which is like, lol, this is my board now. Hey, I got this game for 50 cents. Anybody play this? Like, you're going to find stuff like this. It's going to sound very cheesy, as I'm not going to make this about the show. I assure you, this is going to sound very cheesy. But the only reason that that doesn't drive me nuts that it's all out there and I'm missing out on it is the fact that what this really means for my life is that I get to be pleasantly surprised by Hugo, the Man of a Thousand Faces.
Yeah.
Like, just all of this is stuff that's just waiting for me to, like, stumble on and then share with people that I think will find it funny, you know?
Or at least, like, this is, like, I feel like undeniably fascinating.
Yes.
You know, even if this isn't, you know, necessarily a funny thing, like, it is just so strange that that GameFAQs documentary can't come soon enough.
No.
Like, GameFAQs is such a rich, strange, complicated thing. Way more so than I would have ever thought, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely been this strange force for something in my life. I don't know if for good.
Yeah, it's definitely good for these people.
Yeah.
You know, like, these people seem a lot happier knowing each other.
Yes.
And they don't talk about the game, but they refer to themselves as Hugoist or like Hugo pals. They talk about Hugo
pals.
Yeah, Hugo pals, like Hugo to toilet now. just like Hugo friends. Like, it's just these guys, man. It's the kind of thing, if I was like in the right mood, this would end up making me very sad. Like, cause it's very kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This is like I think like this is a bittersweet kind of thing.
It's very bittersweet, especially because they like there are people who keep on trickling back in just to check and see, and you can get a sense like maybe these are people who were in high school 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and they like that they've become adults now, and this is like some kind of weird grounding.
Just 5 days ago, our boy Logan Hunter participated in the poll of the day. Have you ever used a portable container instead of going to the toilet so you wouldn't interrupt playing a video game?
Oh, how did he answer?
It doesn't say how he answered, just how most GameFAQs people did, which most of them held it until there's a break in the game.
Okay.
So 8,000 people. But a distressing 200 people say they usually keep a bottle or other container beside me during long play sessions.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't care for that. 200 people said only once and it was an emergency. And about 300 people said they've done it a few times during some particularly long online battles.
Oh, geez. Come on. No.
Yeah. I don't care for that at all.
Emergency is fine.
I usually keep a bottle or other container beside me.
No.
Like, just in case.
Yeah. So I'm going to enter into a database that is probably associated with my name that I have stopped participating in even the masquerade of humanity.
You know, the NSA is going to put you in, you know, the special inhuman.
Possible pod people, the PPP column.
Strangely enough. Like, I peed in, like, a car before in, like, a container, like, on a road trip because you don't want to disappoint your bros, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, having to pee all the time.
Yeah, there's a certain ritual aspect to that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also something you stop doing.
Right.
At a certain age, like 1,000%.
Yeah. When we were driving to Columbus, there was no like, oh man, I've got a Mountain Dew bottle here for you.
Yeah. Like, it just like, no, we can stop like humans.
Right.
You know, like, as you get older, you get to control when you're a human more.
Right.
Why would you choose to be a human less?
That is one of the wonderful things. Emergencies. There's no shade at that. I've pissed in a garbage can before. Like,
oh yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I pissed in that, like a basement sink.
Yeah.
You know, things like we talked about that drain.
Yeah, that's why that drain's
only
there.
On your belly. You give them that amber slurp. you give them that golden sip.
If you got an amber slurp, you need to drink more water.
Drink it, ghoulies.
Yeah.
You lay pipe right at the back of Throat Town.
Yeah.
And you fill until you ain't fill no more.
Yeah.
You beginning of seven. These ghoulies.
It's until you kick
until Mills and Somerset come along and puke when they see these ghoulies.
And ask what's in the ghoulie. See, that's another thing that Europe does weird. Ghoulie means testicles as opposed to little green ghouls.
Yeah, it's weird as opposed to toilet goblins like it should.
So this weird little this weird little pocket community that we have here, are they force of good or evil?
I think these are the citizens.
Okay.
I think these are the stakes.
Okay.
This is what we're fighting for. Like when Buffo climbs to the top of the mountain and like flexes at the sun, this is who he's thinking of.
Right. Yeah. And if it comes down to like an Earthbound style, like pray so we can beat Gigas.
Yes.
They're going to pray. Yeah.
Give us your thoughts and prayers to defeat Gigas.
I thought we were going to do it again. I thought we were going to get past it. Come on.
No, it's people keep shooting each other. And then also politicians and dips keep talking about how sad it is, but there's nothing we can do.
Nope.
There's tons of things to do. I hate it.
Yeah. It's
you have to do something. Like it is, you just have to do something. Like this throwing your hands up shit.
It's not, it doesn't cut it. We deserve better. We deserve more. Yep. The reason we're talking, this is, we're recording this. So it's October 2nd of 2017. If you're listening to this, like way in the far flung future,
if there is a far flung future and this is not truly the end times as it feels.
Right. Yeah. they're recording this on a Monday. This comes out on a Wednesday. We might top this by then. Who knows? Today is the day of the worst shooting in American history, the worst mass shooting. By you know, there's no qualifiers. It is one of the most heinous things that has happened out in Las Vegas. So that is why I am just distraught, because today has been a very dark day.
Yeah, that happened. Tom Petty is now, they're saying that he is actually like hanging on for dear life.
But like
he's brain dead.
Yeah, there's no quality of life.
He's been brain dead for like a day.
Yeah, they've pulled life support. We're not getting Lucky back.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah. So it is, and this is also happening in the midst, just for future historians.
Yeah.
Like as Puerto Rico is underwater, and like there have just been literally mind-blowingly dark things coming out of that, which was a week or so after all of Oregon was on fire, which is a week or so after all of Houston was underwater.
Yeah.
Which was right around the time that Florida was like, I mean, I don't believe in end times. If I believed in end times, this would feel an awful lot like it.
It feels like we have tipped off of some kind of cusp. Now, what we have found is that beyond every cusp that we've tipped off of is a new valley, a new nadir, and a new cusp to get on.
Yeah, there's just new cusps.
Yeah. So, like, we're not going to have just, you know, blood moons and stuff like that. And, you know, horsemen, it's just going to get worse and worse until... I was about to say until it gets better, but even I can't be that optimistic.
Yeah. Who fucking knows, man? It's no good.
Yeah.
But you know, these sweet people on this Hugo board are good.
Yeah. We can use them to buoy our spirits for just a moment.
Yeah. If you like the show, it's a premium episode. Mm-hmm. You have already supported us to get it.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. The only thing you can really do is that if you think that this is good and these episodes are good and it's a good value, let other people know.
Yes, please do.
Tell your friends, range reviews, you know, give people on this, this premium episode tip.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun doing this one. I think it's, I think it's up there.
Yeah. This is a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack with this bad boy.
Yeah. I don't know that I have anything more. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening, and, hold each other tight.
Yeah. Hold each other tight.
That's all.
Who is comfort dog?